The mystery, Christ in you the hope of glory whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Call 127-28. There are five major steps and measures of Christ in you. I, the first measure of Christ is the light, Christ, that is in all men that come into the world. Everyone also has the Holy Spirit of God, because it was poured out on all mankind at Pentecost. Acts 2:14-21, and the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to benefit all, 1 Cor 12:7. His spirit is chained down, subject to your selfish spirit that rules you. You drag him through all your sin and filth throughout your life. This seed of God is waiting to be sought, listened to, and obeyed, which causes growth. From the seed of Christ, which is chained down within a man, Christ must increase, while the rebellious spirit of man decreases, until finally Christ appears within a man, to be seen, to be witnessed, to bring salvation, to bring the kingdom, to bring glory to the purified believer. This seed, light, or spirit of God is your talent, which must be improved in this life. If you fail to grow it, in the next life the small measure of Christ in you is taken away from you and given to another who has improved their talent, while you are cast into outer darkness as a wicked and unworthy servant, where in spirit without body or soul you learn the hard way about God versus man, sin versus righteousness, love versus lust, light versus darkness, obedience versus rebellion, pride versus humility. Step I is the seed of God in you, chained down. John 1:4-5, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light in every man shines in the darkness of man, anonymously pleading with him to forsake evil, but man in his darkness does not acknowledge the pleas as true and necessitating a change in his behaviors. John 1:6-7-9, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came as a witness, to bear witness to the light, so that all men might believe through it, the light, Christ, which is the true light that enlightens every man who comes into the world. Acts 2:16-17, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all men, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This was Pentecost, 2,000 years ago. The Spirit was poured out on all people. 1 Cor 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to benefit all. Tit 2:11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Grace appears to all, but each man must choose to respond to the grace to receive salvation. The deficit sects look to an outward God in a far-off heaven and heed the words of the Bible instead of the light and word, Christ, within them. The early Quakers preached Christ within, and the Protestants severely persecuted them. Yet what they preached was plainly stated throughout the Bible, as below, Am I not a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far away? Jer 23:23, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. 1 Cor 6:19, so that they should seek the Lord and perhaps might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, Acts 17:24-28, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Cor 6:16, Lev 26:12, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. F 4:6, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Gal 4:19, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Cor 3:16, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, F 3:17, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Call 1:27, because what may be known of God is revealed in them, for God has shown it to them. Rom 1:19, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Romans 8:18, examine yourselves, whether you are in the faith, prove yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are reprobates tested, rejected? 2 Cor 13:5, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with words from Christ in your hearts, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See 0L3, 16 But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ to rule a man as his king, doing his will, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is your life because of righteousness. Rom 8:9-10 God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Gal 4:6 But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. 1 John 2:27 If a man abides in me, and I in him, he produces much fruit. Love, joy, peace, quietness, and confident trust forever. Patience, including longsuffering, steadfastness, and perseverance. Kindness, including morality and integrity. Goodness, faith, gentleness, including meekness and humility. And self-control, mastery of sensual appetites, passions, and desires. John 15:5-6, Gal 5:22-23 When you bear, produce, or bring forth much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show that you are truly my disciples, true followers. John 15:8 To seek God and find him, to see him within, is the whole purpose of life. He, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the allotted times and the boundaries of their habitation, so that they should seek the Lord, and perhaps might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. Acts 17:26-28 F4:6 For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Cor 4:6 The deficit sects are just like the Pharisees, who had the scriptures, but who did not hear God or see God, and so rejected Jesus, as Jesus said in John 5:37-40, and the Father himself who has sent me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are those that testify of me. But you will not come to me, that you might have life. Come not to sect services, not to prayer meetings, not to altar calls, but come directly to him, by silently waiting on him, listening for his voiced commands and teachings. The deficit sects reject the Jesus within us, waiting for us to seek him so he can teach us, so he can love us, so he can save us, so he can unite with us to be an entirely new creature. Now if, as Scripture tells us, God and Christ abide in a man, of course Christ can lead us to salvation. And what would you rather depend on for a guide and a teacher? A book or a living, all-powerful, perfect, merciful, all-knowing God, who promises to lead us into all truth, to teach us all things, to show us the way, to guide us, to let us see with his eyes, but to be taught, we must humbly approach him as a sinner and be quiet so we can listen and hear. God does not teach us from a book. Man teaches that way. God teaches us by revelation, by his word and light in our hearts, because that which may be known of God is revealed in them, for God has shown it to them. Rom 1:19. And yes, at the end of your journey to God, he will show you the events of the scriptures, mark show, not describe, not read to you, not tell you about them, show, and then you will fully understand the scriptures as well as the mysteries of godliness. The Father is in you all, Christ is in you, and the kingdom of heaven is in you. There, in your hearts, is where you will find them all. Know him there searching your hearts and find him there trying your minds and hearts. Incline your ears and give ear to him there, who will render to every one of you according to your words and works whether they are good or evil. George Fox, Roman 2. When we believe the hope of the gospel, we begin to seek God. We may read the Bible to the point we have it memorized, but we are still right where we started, just with more knowledge about him, not of him. We are still in the flesh, still with our carnal minds which are enmity to God, with a faith in the historical accuracy of Jesus' life. Just the belief in his name is enough for us to be able to access the grace of God. But to receive this changing, purifying grace, we must come to him, listen to him, and obey him. When we hear him or see what he shows us, and we obey him because we believe who is communicating with us to be the Son of God, we have received Christ, and having received him, we are granted the power or right to become a son of God. From the word of the Lord within, when you are sure that he who is speaking to you is Christ, you have received him. Now we have laid the sure foundation of faith that will survive the storms to come, for those determined to live a godly life will meet with persecution. Romans 10:8-17, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Rom 10:8, so where is the word again? It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. Deuteronomy 30:10-14, you must have faith in the word which is within you, in your heart and mouth, faith enough to listen, and faith enough to obey the heard commands. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Rom 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God speak from within your heart. When you hear the word from within your heart, your faith will grow by leaps and bounds. Luke 6:47-8, whoever comes to me and listens to my spoken words and does practices obeys them, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life-giving. John 6:63, note, not words read from a book, but words spoken to you from Christ, the word of God in your heart, to be heard and obeyed. Jesus said that studying the scriptures is not coming to him. John 5:39-40, to come to him is to sit in humble silence and wait on him, as you listen and watch. When you hear him speak, if you obey him, you are following Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Matt 11:29. This is the good part, the one thing that is needed, to sit at his feet and listen to his words that he speaks to us. Luke 10:39-42. All your holy ones are in your power, and they sit at your feet, each receiving your words. Deuteronomy 33:3. I will show you what he is like. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation securely built on a rock. And when the flood arose, the torrent beat violently upon that house, but could not shake it because it was founded on a rock. The man who comes to him, listens to his spoken words, and then obeys what he hears, builds the temple of God, Christ, in his heart. And when Christ is fully formed through persistence to the end, the day of the Lord comes while he is still alive on the earth, which is a joyous occasion for the obedient, and his works of obedience survive the fire that all men must go through, which works are then forever to his credit, reputation, and reward. But he who merely hears and does not practice doing my words is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, against which the torrent burst, and immediately it collapsed and fell, and the breaking and ruin of that house was great. But those who hear his anonymous words and fail to obey, for them the day of the Lord at their death, which comes on all men, is a horrible, frightening experience. All their life's works are burnt up in the fire that all men must go through. The anonymous words of truth they heard, pleading to depart from evil, but which they failed to obey, will judge them in the last day. John 12:48. Because of their disobedience, their earthly life was spent in no benefit to them, and their many shameful acts are their eternal regret. From the word of the Lord within, I am the terror to most people. Everyone will be known by what they have done and said. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need any man to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you abide in him. In Matthew 23:8-10, Jesus says, for you have one teacher, the Christ. Notice Jesus did not say, I am your teacher. He said, the Christ. Christ means the anointing or with God's Spirit. So Jesus is telling them that the anointing or the Spirit of God is their one teacher. Now John is telling us the same thing. The Christ, the anointing, the Spirit of God is your teacher, and you need no man to teach you. When you have the anointing, you have the truth. When you have the anointing, you have the Spirit of Jesus in sufficient measure to be guided in what to say and what to do. Rom 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, the sinful nature, you will die. But if through the Spirit you mortify put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Colossians 3:5, therefore mortify put to death the deeds of the body that are of the earthly life, fornication, impurity, inordinate affections, evil lusts of the flesh, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Ephesians 4:22, strip yourselves of your former nature that controlled your conduct, which corrupts itself through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. 1 Pet 1:4, by which exceedingly great and precious promises are given to us, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Rev 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. He stands at the door of everyone's heart knocking for their entire life, waiting for them to listen. Notice he says, if you hear my voice, not someone reading the Bible, not an altar call, if after you hear his voice, if you open the door by acknowledging his voice as the Son of God, receiving him with honor then, and only then, he will come in, give you food and eat with you. And where is in? It isn't church, it isn't your house, it isn't Bible study, he comes into your heart. Inside our hearts is where all the changes have to take place. The Spirit has to circumcise our hearts to make us pleasing to him, making a new heart, giving us a new mind, giving us new deeds and words, making us a new creature. Until then, you, the old fleshly creature, has to die, on the cross, the inward cross of self-denial in your heart. This is true inward religion, not outward observances of water, wine, baptisms, singing, sermons, prayer groups, etc., which are all the ritual works of the unredeemed, unchanged, fleshly man. God must be worshipped in spirit and truth. Stephen Crisp, an early Quaker who dwelled in the kingdom, wrote, "This never happens to anybody so long as the table and heart is foul, for the table must be clean and the devil and sin thrown out, and then will the Lord confirm and ratify and seal the covenant, so that here is a seal with a witness." When a man has this testimony of the love of God, that God is reconciled to him in Christ, then Christ will come in, and he will bring his Father, and they will sup with him. And this is what will give complete satisfaction to such a soul. F4:21. Assuming you have actually heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. John 14:17. The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he dwells with you now and shall be in you soon. 2 Cor 4:10. Always bearing about in our flesh the same death of the inward cross of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are constantly progressing to death, crucifying the old man for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be revealed in our mortal flesh. As our selfish spirit, the old man, dies on the inward cross of self-denial, Jesus increases in us, like bread is leavened. Rom 1:19. Because what may be known of God is revealed in them, for God has shown it to them. Paul is saying, whatever is to be learned about God is to be revealed in a man's heart by revelation. F3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The power that cleanses you, purifies you, circumcises your heart, and mortifies sin, which power is released by 1. The true gospel, 2. The inward cross of self-denial, and 3. Thinking on the name of Jesus while silently listening for the Lord's teachings and commands. Mark 4:24-5. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you use, it will be measured to you who hear, more will be given. John 6:27. Do not labor for food that perishes, but instead labor for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for God the Father has authorized and certified him with his seal. To labor is to work hard. What is the hard work you must do that endure to everlasting life? To daily, persistently and patiently expose yourself to hearing Christ speak his commands and teachings to you, by sitting, waiting on God, listening, watching, hearing, believing, and obeying. That is the one thing needed and the only works which survive the fire that everyone must pass through. This is part of the cross that you must daily bear, denying your own will and obeying the will of God instead. John 6:51-63. I am this living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And also the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh, body. The words that the Spirit speaks from Jesus come down from heaven and are life-giving, John 6:63. The bread of life, our daily bread, which we must labor every day to hear so that Jesus is formed in us with each word heard, until he is fully formed and we are raised from the dead to live in heaven. But we also still walk the earth with him in us and guiding our every word and deed. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life-giving. John 6:51-63. 1 John 2:5. But whoever obeys his spoken words, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. Persistent exposing yourself to hearing his commands with obedience to the commands you hear spoken to you results in the love of God being perfected in you, which means you are then able to love your neighbor as yourself and able to obey the first and greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Matt 22:37. Paul tells us that anything we covet or desire is idolatry, and no man can love God with all his heart until God rids his heart of all that he desires and values in the world. Whatever we desire, we worship. From the word of the Lord within, you must learn to hate everything you worship. Rom 7:15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Rom 7:15. Here we become cognizant of our lack of control over our own emotions and passions, as Paul's first described condition of all new believers. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Rom 7:15. W. Hyle listening and watching, he begins teaching you, encouraging you, assuring you, and making changes in you. As you wait, watch, listen, hear, and obey, his words cause the seed to grow within you. Romans 3. When he deems you ready, you enter tribulation. This is part of the cross, to destroy the sinful nature within you through suffering. This produces patience, forgiveness, faith, long-suffering, trust, humility, and even hope. For even pain can be reassuring of his love. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. PSA 23:4. The full soul loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry seeking soul, every bitter thing, tribulation and chastening, is sweet. Pro 27:7. This is the ministry of condemnation that destroys the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Rom 8:7 from George Fox's Letter 58. The teachers without exalt the carnal mind, but the teacher within destroys it. From the word of the Lord within, trust him. He will lead you and watch over you continually. He will never leave you. 1 Peter 1:4-7 to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice, while you patiently wait for your salvation, you are being kept by the power of God. This verse is strong testimony against Christianity's false, instant salvation. In that greatly rejoice, though it is necessary to suffer a few griefs now, through various trials. Tribulation and trials are grievous, painful, distressing. Various trials are necessary to rid you of your sinful nature, so that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tried with fire, might result in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. 1 Pet 4:12. 1 Pet 4:1-2 Therefore, since Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind, because he who has suffered in the flesh is finished with sin, from the word of the Lord within. Any of you whose sting to bear has been hard, use these facts. 1. All have suffered before you. 2. Sin is excoriated. 3. God will remove the burden in time. And 4. The same is experienced by every cleanliness-desired heart in the nations. So that you should not live the rest of your time in the flesh in the lusts of men, but live to the will of God. To live to the will of God is to live with Jesus as your true Lord, ruling all you words to be spoken and works to be done, even supplying your thoughts. Luke 8:13. Those on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root. And although they believe for a while, in time of testing with affliction and persecution, they fall away. Every believer who takes up the inward cross of self-denial will eventually undergo trials of their faith with affliction and persecution, tribulations. As the great early Quaker, Isaac Pennington, wrote, "The way is long, the travel hard, the enemies and difficulties many. Some will be offended and fall away, back into the world." Rev 1:9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom, and patient endurance in Jesus Christ, was on the isle called Patmos, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was in the kingdom, had been through the tribulation, and had endured suffering with patience, long-suffering. If any man wants to serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. John 12:26. Your sight and consciousness are in heaven, but you are still on the earth serving the Lord. From the word of the Lord within, you can live in heaven and still walk the earth. I will come again to the elect. I will be a crown to lead and guide them. As George Fox ministered on the earth, he was translated to paradise, and then he lived in paradise. Act 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples and warning and exhorting them to stand firm in the faith, saying that it is through many trials and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Tribulation is pain and suffering, which destroys sin and works patience. Obtaining purity on earth through crucifixion of the selfish, human nature is not easy, but purity on earth is far less painful than purification in hell. And the reward for obtaining the kingdom while on earth is to be a king and priest to God with eternal peace, continual joy, and pleasures forevermore. Everyone passes through the fire in this life or the next, from the word of the Lord within, either pain in this life or the next. The pain of a wound cleanses away evil, so do stripes purge the inward parts, including the heart of man. Pro 20:30. You either make your peace with God here, through the cross and suffering in tribulations, or you make your peace with God through the horrible suffering in hell. As man continues to live in sin, he fills up his cup with his sins. And when he dies still sinning, he must drink that cup, hell, without the love of God helping him. God leaves him to suffer without his help and comfort, which is available to a man on the earth through God's conviction, man's repentance, and God then removing the sin from his heart by grace. In hell, man gets the desires of his heart in obsession. He replays every wrong action in his life over and over until he sickens of them, and until his desire is burned out, one desire at a time. This is the torturous, painful experience of fire and brimstone. God is a consuming fire, and he burns those desires away, when man becomes so desperate he would do anything rather than continue that desire. Then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early and diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would accept none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own desires. For the turning away from my counsel of the ignorant shall slay them, and the careless ease of fools will destroy them. Pro 128-32 However, all is well that ends well, for all will be reconciled to God. The few who are crucified, purified, and perfected while on earth with great reward, and the many who are purified in hell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile by him Jesus, all things to himself the Father, by him Jesus, I say, whether they are things on earth or things in heaven. Call 120. Therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. 1 Tim 4:10, see the webpage Is There Hope for All Men and Women for further detail. Matthew 13:20-21, and he who received the seed into stony places, the same is he who hears the word spoken by the Spirit, and quickly with joy receives it. There is no joy in hearing someone read the Bible, but when you hear the Lord speak to you, you have great joy. Yet has he no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution rises because of the word, he is eventually offended. Tribulation, suffering, and persecution occur because a person endures in obeying the word, which is the spoken words they hear, spoken by the Lord to them, as they wait, watch, and listen. Every believer who takes up the inward cross of self-denial and endures for a while will experience trials and tribulations with suffering and persecution. Some will be offended, causing them to give up their enduring. They cease their first priority of obedient following and seeking of God to fall back into the ways of the world. To these 1:4, so that we ourselves speak proudly of you to the churches of God, because of your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Matthew 24:21-29, 34:21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, till all these things be fulfilled. Notice, Jesus is saying that the Great Tribulation will have occurred, for some, before the generation of 2,000 years ago had passed. See the six scripture references to prove that tribulation and the second appearance of Christ has occurred for some in all generations, beginning 2,000 years ago. Those who are determined to live a godly life and take up the cross to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness as the first priority in their life will encounter suffering in tribulations, which results in the removal of sin from their hearts. Tribulations occur to those who persistently and patiently wait on God to hear him and then obey him. With endurance, a believer on earth experiences the return of Christ, entering the kingdom and receiving salvation, the three of which occur simultaneously. One, these three, four, for truly, when we were with you, we told you that we would suffer tribulation, even as it has now happened, as you know. Job 5:19, he shall deliver you in six troubles. Yes, in seven, no evil shall touch you. To enter the kingdom, every man must go through seven troubles, or seven trials, which is great tribulation. The seventh is the trial of perfection, the final trial before the revealing of Jesus Christ and his resurrection with you. The seven troubles correspond to the seven vials in the book of Revelation. George Fox refers to this scripture as absolute fact in the following extract from letter 367. And the Lord has promised to deliver his people in the six troubles. Yes, in the seventh, the perfection of troubles. And therefore do not think time long, and your sufferings long, for the Lord will lay no more upon you but what you are able to bear, yes, upon his faithful people. When you are tried, you may come forth more precious than gold that is tried in the fire. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into injury. Pro 24:16. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in an earthen furnace, purified seven times. PSA 12:6. Then I will walk contrary to you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. Lev 26:28. He shall deliver you in six troubles. Yes, in seven no evil shall touch you. Job 5:19. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and scourges every son whom he accepts. Endure your trials with suffering as a discipline, not punishment, but training from God to improve your virtue. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom the father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all true sons of God must share, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Heb 12:6-8, Rom 5:3. And not only so, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Rom 8:35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 4:12-13, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, since you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, so that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Rom 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Hebrews 12:6-8, for the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves and scourges every son whom he accepts. Endure your trials with suffering as a discipline, not punishment, but training from God to improve your virtue. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? But if you are without chastisement discipline, of which all true sons of God must share, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Heb 13:13, let us then go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his shame, contempt, and abuse. Luke 22:31, then the Lord said, Simon, Simon Peter, listen. Satan has demanded to have all of you that he might sift you like grain. Rom 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service and worship. The animal sacrifices in the Old Testament featured washing of the inwards. Their blood was sprinkled on altar by the door to the tabernacle, and then burned with fire. Incense was part of the grain offering as well as the lamp tending. At the conclusion of the death of our selfish, sinful nature, We are washed on the inside with holy water. We are burned with the Holy Spirit's baptism of fire. The blood of Jesus is sprinkled in our consciences, the door to our heart, and we offer the incense of prayerful praise, joy, and thanksgiving for being freed from the darkness of this world to enter the kingdom of light. These are the events that you must see, feel, and experience for you to be a true believer in the Son of God. You must put to death the lusts, pleasures, and addictions of your body. As Paul says, Rom 8:13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you mortify put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." The Spirit is the one who searches your heart, showing you your sins, giving you the motivation to repent. Which, when you do repent, the Spirit then kills and removes that sin in your heart. Do this repetitively, and you will become without sin by the Spirit's removal of sin. Then your body is a new wineskin, fit to be inhabited by Christ and the Father, who make their home in those who love and obey them, who dwell in your body, the temple of the living God. Then your body is their vehicle as they prompt you, lead you, and energize you to serve God and your fellow man in love. This is the true worship, which is then your supreme joy. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we will also reign with him. 1 Peter 5:9, resist him the devil, standing fast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by all your brothers in the world. 2 Timothy 3:12, all who are determined to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Hebrews 12:11, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are tried by it. 1 Peter 4:16-19, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Romans 4. After you have suffered sufficiently, Christ tests you. Passing the test, you receive as reward the next measure of Christ. This occurs, having put to death the great majority of the sinful nature by aid of the Spirit, until you are led by the Spirit and assured of salvation to come with the return of Christ. And the sin gets less and less as we await the return of Christ in his glory with his kingdom. This is further discussed in the interim reward. This is the step where you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, the earnest deposit of more to come. You will hear him tell you, an open door that has been placed before you that no one can shut. Tribulation and suffering continues, even after you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. As you remain obedient to the words you hear Christ speak to you, you will later be led out of darkness to light. The morning star rises, comes into being in your hearts. 2 Peter 1:19-12-13, that we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were also sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is to hear God the word of truth, tell you, in whom you believed, the good news of your coming salvation. This scripture speaks of the interim reward of seeking, like when you hear the Lord say to you, I have placed before you an open door which no one can shut, Rev 3:8, and when you receive a measure of his Spirit, the sealing or earnest deposit of the true baptism to come. Notice, 1, he says this sealing has been long promised, long awaited, after you have first believed, and 2, you have heard from God himself of your coming salvation. 2 Cor 5:5, God, who also has given to us the earnest down payment of the Spirit. 2 Cor 1:22, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Acts 5:32, the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Your sealing of the Holy Spirit comes after you have shown obedience to the commands heard from the Lord, and after you have been tested and passed. Now you will know that Christ resides in you, unless you have been tested and been reprobated, rejected, abandoned to sin. But even if you have been tested and failed, you can still recover to be tested again, by listening, hearing, and obeying over time. From the word of the Lord within, without obedience you have nothing. Sorry, there are not wild cards in the camp. Everyone is expecting Jesus to be their excuse. No man is promoted or excused that repeats sin. You are without excuse, O man. People must stand the price for their very brazen behavior. All men are without excuse. If I were silent, they would have an excuse. I've warned them and given them the requirements and preached the exclusions. They should not expect anything else or conclusion. The way is clear. Listen and obey. Obedience leads to restoration of life. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed to the day of redemption. Notice. First, you have to be obedient to the commands heard from the Lord. Then you will receive the seal of the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment of the final reward. Until the day of redemption, when you receive the fullness of Christ, you are purified, you are redeemed from all iniquity, Christ appears in your heart, you receive deliverance from sin, salvation, and you enter the kingdom of heaven. Note, this is a journey of spiritual progress, which ends in redemption and salvation. 1 Pet 2. 2 Yearn like newborn babies for pure, spiritual milk, so that you may grow up to salvation. Rom 13:11. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Phil 2:12. Continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Rom 8:24-25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already seen? But if we hope for that we do not yet see, then we wait for its salvation with patient endurance. 2 Cor 2:15. For we are the sweet aroma of Christ unto God, to those who are being saved. Heb 3:14. We are made partakers of Christ, if we hold firm the beginning of our confidence to the end. Heb 10:36. For you need endurance in order to do God's will, so that after you may receive the promise. Heb 6:11-12. We desire that every one of you show the same diligence in realizing the full assurance of hope to the end, so that you are not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us, who are to be of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. 1 Cor 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, the cross is the power of God. While in the inward cross of self-denial, you will see the sins slowly disappear from your life until you are free of sin. 2 Cor 7:10. Godly sorrow produces repentance that leads to salvation. Rom 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that we no longer be slaves to sin. 2 Pet 1:19. Also, like we heard God's voice from heaven on the mount, we have the steady prophetic word, the word in your heart, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star Jesus rises in your hearts. As the lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Matt 24:27. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. Rev 22:16. He who overcomes, I will give him the morning star. Rev 2:26-28. From the word of the Lord within, light comes from faith in the voice. My word is in your heart and mouth. Listen well to my words, attend to them. And to those who obey, he will appear like a magnificent star in your heart. The arising of the light will be unmistakable. It is an ego-shattering experience. 2 Pet 1:5-8. For this very reason, make every effort the maximum possible to add to your faith virtue excellence, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance or patience, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are in you and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gal 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, quietness, and confident trust forever. Patience, including longsuffering, steadfastness, and perseverance. Kindness, including morality and integrity. Goodness, faith, gentleness, including meekness and humility. And self-control, mastery of sensual appetites, passions, and desires. Gal 4:19. My little children, for whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. F 3:16. Hat he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Col 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Heb 9:28. To those who persistently and patiently wait for him, he will appear the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring full salvation. Those who are persistently and patiently waiting on God see Jesus appear in their hearts and see Jesus bring their salvation, which is to be delivered, freed from all sin. To wait on God is to persistently sit in humble silence, listen for his voice and words, watch for his revelations, hear his commands, and then obey him. Only those who heed and obey him receive eternal salvation. Heb 5:9. But if we hope for what we do not yet see, then we wait for its salvation with patient endurance. Rom 8:25. We wait for salvation. From the word of the Lord within, you must wait on the Lord to receive salvation. 1 John 3:2-3. Beloved, now we are to be sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we will be, but we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And every man who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. Call 3, for when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ appears in you, bringing his kingdom, you will appear there also, in the kingdom within you in glory. This mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Call 1:27 John 14:20-24. And Jesus answered and said to him, if a man loves me, he will obey my spoken words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Home in the heart of those who obey. He who doesn't love me does not obey my spoken words. In that day when he appears in you, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. John 14:3-17, 15:24. I will come back again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. John 14:3. This is the return of Christ with the Father, bringing your salvation and the kingdom. The world does not see it. They become one with us, union. It is a personal experience. This is not the resurrection. He is talking about becoming one with the disciples. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should protect them from the evil. John 17:15. So Jesus wants to keep us in the world, but to protect us from evil, while in the world to be sanctified. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. John 17:24. We are physically still in the world, but our consciousness and sight translate to the kingdom of heaven, a higher dimension. God is in the same higher dimension. In him we live and move and have our being, who is over all, in all, and through all. And there we have fellowship with the Father and the Son. So with obedience to the cross, we can enter paradise while alive on earth, to be there forever, even after the second death. The next step in Christ is when he returns in glory with his Father to establish his kingdom in your heart. You are translated into his kingdom, paradise. We reach Paul's final state he describes in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. At this stage, you are freed from sin, which was Adam's state before he fell. Here you have peace with God and a pure fellowship in the Spirit with your fellow believers, Christ, and the Father. In this state, you are like Adam, capable of falling to temptation if you do not watch carefully, but you have power to resist, and when you show your faithfulness, you go beyond the state of Adam to union with Christ and to sit down in Christ, who never fell. Many of the New Testament letters were written in warning to those freed from sin, but still capable of becoming entangled in sin again. This is the completion of your salvation, salvation from the world, the evil in the world, sanctification, separation, the state of no longer being capable of falling to temptation. We are with Christ in our consciousness, sight, and awareness. When in union, you are able to do the will of your Father who is in heaven. Now you are a true Christian, able to fulfill the purpose of becoming a Christian. To be an instrument of righteousness in the hand of God, dedicated to performing perfect works of righteousness that bring honor, glory, and pleasure to God. Tit 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, lawless deeds, sin, and purify for himself a people who are his very own, zealous for good works. F2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has ordained before that we should walk in doing good works. Heb 13:20-21. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Call 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing in all things, being fruitful in every good work. Matt 5:16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. John 3, 21, but he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be shown to have been produced, formed, and powered through God. Phil 2, 13, for it is God who brings forth in you both the will to work and the works as commanded, according to his good pleasure. 2 Tim 2, 21, therefore, if a man purges himself from the latter, iniquity, lawlessness, sin, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and ready for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. F2, 5-6, and when we were dead in our sins, he brought us to life in union and fellowship with Christ. It is through grace that you are saved. But you have not been saved by grace until you have been brought to life in union and fellowship with Christ, having been raised up together with Christ into heaven. From the word of the Lord within, saved by grace, but what about the rest of that chapter? You have not experienced grace until you have been raised with him. Salvation occurs when you are one with Christ and God. Once you are in union, it is permanent. We die in our sins through the baptism of death. From the word of the Lord within, you are raised to a new life, not just an imitation. He is one with us and ever present. For detail on the baptism of fire and death, see the footnote to Matthew 3, 11-12 on the site. And has raised us up together with Christ, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is to have experienced being translated into the kingdom of heaven, where you are with Christ in sight and consciousness. From the word of the Lord within, I work with the blind, but if you think you can see, and you are not with me in heaven, I will make you a laughingstock. 1 John 4, for you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Rom 7, for therefore, my brothers, you also became dead to the law through the living body of Christ in you, so that you could be married to another and raised from the dead to bear fruit to God. Paul is addressing believers that had been crucified, and therefore they had died to the law, who had been raised from the dead with Christ, the new creature in newness of life. Christ had appeared in them and dwelled in them. They had received the fruit of the Spirit from Christ with the measure of faith that frees from the law, enabling them to no longer walk after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit, as it guided all their words and deeds. They had reached the first stage of perfection. The translation of this verse has been typically twisted to mean that Christ's death and resurrection made a believer dead to the law. But we are only dead to the law through the law after we have been crucified, and he is dwelling in us, totally guiding us, with his prompting of every word to speak and every deed to be done. While Christ's blood sacrifice made the Mosaic law obsolete, the inner law on every man's heart is still alive, never canceled, which inner law includes the moral core of the Mosaic law. And for you to be free from this inner law, by which all men shall be judged, you must submit to God condemning the sins in your flesh, with commands that you hear when waiting on him. Those commands are established as additional laws in your heart, in which are all the laws you must obey and continue to obey until you are completely crucified, to then walk in love and liberty under no laws. John 15, 5, 8, if a man abides in me and I in him, he produces much fruit. When you bear, produce, or bring forth much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. Gal 4, 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Gal 5, 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the sinful nature, with its passions and desires, lusts and affections. After your sinful nature has been put to death on the inward cross of self-denial, then you belong to Christ as you walk in love, following the Spirit, fulfilling the law, and then you receive an imputed righteousness. Having suffered on the cross, you no longer live the rest of your time in the lusts of men, but you live to the will of God, 1 Pet 4, 1-2, which is to be obediently led and guided by the Spirit in thoughts, words, and deeds. From the word of the Lord within, the purpose of this website is to teach you how to carry your cross. Gal 2, 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Cor 4, 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of the invisible God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, 6, whosoever abides lives in him does not sin. Revelation 21, 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. 1 John 3:8-9 He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God is revealed in us, that he might destroy in us the works sin of the devil. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed Jesus remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. 1 John 5:18 We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but God protects the one he has fathered, and the wicked one does not touch him. Romans 6:4 Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death. So as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Col 2:11-12 In whom you also will be circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision performed by Christ, buried with him in baptism of death, in which you will be risen with him through your belief in the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Col 3:1 If then you will be raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Col 1:12 Giving thanks to the Father, who will make you fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. To partake is to share in the inheritance of a son, who is in union with Christ and the Father. To be a saint in the light is to have experienced the light to arise in your heart like a magnificent star, and then be guided by God, who is light, in everything to do and say, thus to be walking according to his will, not your own will any longer. From the word of the Lord within, walking in the light is to be guided through life by God. Walking in darkness is making your own decisions as to what to do and say. First the light arises, then the kingdom. Light comes from faith in the voice. The arising of the light will be unmistakable. It is an ego-shattering experience. Jesus dwells in unapproachable light by unregenerated men, but his sanctified saints dwell there with him as a part of him. Heb 2:11 For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified not in process, but completed, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers, John 17:21 So that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. From the word of the Lord within, salvation occurs when you are one with Christ and God. Once you are in union, it is permanent. F5:30 For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Cor 6:17 But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Jesus in spirit. So to be joined to the Lord is to be one spirit with him. Col 1:13 Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This refers to being translated into the kingdom of heaven, and to be raised with Christ to sit down in heavenly places in Christ while still alive on the earth. If any man wants to serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. John 12:26 Your sight and consciousness are in heaven, but you are still on the earth serving the Lord. From the word of the Lord within, you can live in heaven and still walk the earth. I will come again to the elect. I will be a crown to lead and guide them. As George Fox ministered on the earth, he was translated to paradise, and then he lived in paradise. Rom 6:22 But now since you have been set free from sin and have become the slaves of God, you have your present reward in holiness, and its end is eternal life. Luke 1:74 That he would grant to us, that being delivered out of the hand of our enemies we might serve him without fear. Our enemies are lust, pride, envy, anger, hatred, sexual immorality, dishonesty, profanity, foolishness, partying, evil thoughts, etc. Christianity, incorrectly, would have you believe that Jesus came to free you from the guilt of your sins, which makes Jesus a promoter of sins. Your feelings of guilt over sin come from the Spirit of God within every man and should be the motivator to change, not to continue sinning, which is the broad way to destruction. The only way you could stand in God's presence without fear is to be totally changed to be pure and holy, which only occurs by God destroying all sin within you through your bearing the inward cross of self-denial. Then you are walking the same way as Jesus walked and in the world as Jesus was, with perfection, purity, and holiness. Perfect love expels all fear. 1 John 4:18 In holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.